Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Our poll for today, and we got a lot of people feeding back on Twitter as well as where the actual poll is residing on YouTube. We want to know if you've ever been censored on social media. Vote Red on Twitter said many times on the old Twitter and on Facebook. Right Makes Might says, yes, I'm shadow banned on X right now. Well, not that shadow banned. I got you. I see you. Kimmy K says, absolutely. Facebook removed my posts about Hunter's laptop almost immediately. Those are all from Twitter. And then on YouTube, TJ says, yes, during the 2 weeks prior to the 2020 election, I could only react to political posts on Facebook, even local posts. I'd try to respond, but it would not post. Jackie said, yes, I've been censored on Facebook, Instagram, Yahoo, email, and my account was suspended without a warning or response to my inquiry on Twitter in 2021. You have three options in our poll. One is no, you've never been censored. And then you have two yes options. Yes, and it was totally unfair, or yes, and I deserved it. I kind of want one of those. I don't know if I can read it on the air and get censored. But this is something that a lot of people have been dealing with dramatically, especially COVID just took it to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. Brad, have you ever been censored?
I've never had a post removed, but I'm on Twitter. I posted in 2018 to 2020 up to now. I am certain that I have been shadow banned on Twitter before Elon took it over. Part of the reason I'm sure about that is because after Elon took it over and he started going in there and him and his engineers have adjusted that algorithm, I've gained way more followers at a faster pace than I've ever gained anything
before. Maybe you're
before.
Just awesomer now.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is.
What do you think it is, Ryan?
I've noticed that you have much more concise thoughts now.
Much more concise thoughts.
You don't have to be as concise any longer. You can
true.
Be longer-winded.
Yeah, but I think Brad has manipulated that to his benefit.
Do you enjoy on X reading longer posts or shorter posts?
I enjoy reading threads if they're highly informative.
And by threads?
That would mean a long post.
Not the Facebook. Isn't that called threads?
Oh, yeah. The Google one? Or no, that is a Facebook.
It's Meta. It's Meta.
Yeah. That's right.
We obviously are very informed.
Big users.
Isn't that Alphabet owned? I really do like reading when somebody kind of has an expose. If they put it out there on Twitter, that's a good place to read it. Mm-hmm. Because if you put it in an article, I'm probably not going to link over that article as quickly as I would just kind of hit show more, and it populates it. So I do like reading the long posts when they're good. But if it's longer than a couple paragraphs and you're just trying to make one point, make it quick.
What about you?
I like the long posts whenever they're super informative. So like Ryan was saying, if it's an article or if they're like, hey, here's the 10 steps of things that happen whenever this happens, stuff like that, I will sit down and read that entire tweet.
Wouldn't you rather have it all be in one tweet than have to go through
A
thread? Mm-hmm. One of 10. Two
oh, you
of
mean,
10.
I get what you mean by threads now, because that's what I'm saying is when it's one long thread of a post.
Yeah, you just click show more. Yes. And it throws that whole thing up there and you can read it through just like a
To clarify, I actually am agreeing with you. I didn't know that I was. I apologize for agreeing with you.
I forgive you.
Yeah, we just went down a road.
I'm lost. Ooh, speaking of being lost. This is crazy. I've got a couple coworker stories that I want to do with you guys here today. And they're wild. So we got a, this is a Fox News report. Did you hear about this Colorado man who went with his hiking with his coworkers?
No.
All right. Imagine the scene.
Okay.
Fox News reports written by Stephen Soros, not Soros.
Ooh. Okay.
And he's reading Soros stuff on the air.
How to Treat Your Co-Workers by George Soros. wait a minute, hang on here.
On Fox News?
Why is she wearing that camo Harris Walls hat? She doesn't even wear hats.
What did I miss?
Soros, S-O-R-A-C-E.
Okay. Alex Soros.
You know, the funny thing is the people who accuse us of that the most, they're listening right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, an injured Colorado man weathered a storm and survived a night alone on a mountain after his coworkers left him behind on an office retreat.
That seems kind of rude.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit more of this story.
Okay.
And we'll determine who in this room would be the one who was left behind and why. And if the other two would have left the other one, like maybe we would have handled the situation differently.
Look, everybody knows where this is going.
The man, I don't know. The man was a part of a group. You feel personally attacked?
Yes.
I can't. Soros told me to say it. The,
well, then, I guess we just have to follow it.
And you know, the reason why we're talking about it out loud is because it's super secret. The man was part of a group of 15 coworkers who had set off to summit Mount Shivano on Friday in what might cause some awkward encounters at the office in the coming days and weeks. One member of their party was left to complete the final summit push alone. The male hiker, who was wearing all black, reached the summit at 11:30 a.m. and became disoriented as he began his descent. He found that belongings left in the boulder field to mark the path for the descent had been picked up by the previous group that hiked down. So they like left stuff so they could come back and know the same trail, but those things had been removed. As he tried to descend on his own, the hiker found himself in the steep boulder and scree field on the northeast slope towards Shivano Lake. Quote, concerned for himself, he sent a pin drop, specific location mark on a map, to coworkers already descending. These coworkers informed him his route was wrong and to climb back up the slope to regain the trail. As the man neared the trail at around 3:50 p.m., he sent another pin drop and text to his group. Shortly after sending the message, however, a strong storm pummeled the area with freezing rain and high winds.
Oh, man.
Wow.
The storm disoriented the man further and cut off his cell service.
The word disoriented always weirds me out in stories because I'm sure that that's a good word.
There's a lot of ways that you can.
I just picture him going like, whoa.
Yeah, we see that with you sometimes in the show. Search and rescuers received the call about the overdue hiker at 9 p.m. I think that call could have been made a little earlier.
Yeah, there's a long time between the pin and the call.
Responding with two hasty teams and a drone pilot, crews worked through the night, but high winds and freezing rain prevented him from reaching the summit. The following morning, the man regained enough cell service to call 911 for help. He was found above the Norfolk drainage in a gully below Esprit Point. The man told rescuers that he had become disoriented and fell at least 20 times.
Oh, my gosh.
During his attempt to descend alone, he said that after his last fall, he was unable to get up. Quote, the hiker was phenomenally lucky to have regained cell service when he did and to still have enough consciousness and wherewithal to call 911. Though he was located in a tertiary area, search area, it would have been some time before teams made it to that location on their own. Search and rescue officials urged hikers to stay with a partner and pack bright clothing, along with other essentials when setting off in the backcountry. 15 coworkers, and this one guy gets lost on his own. I think that if you think about everybody you've ever worked with, there are people who just have a way of doing it on their own, going on their own.
Yeah.
Either boastfully or socially, they just go that way when everybody else is going this way. Are you, if that's happening, are you, if somebody says, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to be out on my own, or maybe they're not keeping up or something, are you just letting them be by yourself? Or would you think that you would stay back for them? It doesn't matter how close you are to them.
I would think I would go out of my way to make sure I didn't lose somebody on a hike in the woods. But I also don't know the situation. Like, was this guy actually saying, no, I want to go off alone? In that case, you kind of go, well, I'm not going to stop you, but...
Yeah, but I'm not coming back down the mountain without my whole party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
what
you
if,
look
if
at
everybody
the,
else is going down? Are you staying back with this other guy?
No, you convince everybody, no, we can't leave the guy up here.
I, at the very least, will stay and make sure that we get down.
You got to be... Here's one of the problems that the guy made.
Probably berate him the whole time.
He wore all black clothes on a hike. You only do that when you're breaking into a building through the air ducts. And you want to look sexy. You don't do that on a hike.
Maybe that's what he was trying to do. Maybe that's why he was on his own.
Let's go up to the observation tower.
Maybe the building wasn't where it was supposed to be. He's
dressed like Mike Myers in Sprockets.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So that's mistake number one.
Yeah, that's clearly where he went wrong.
Yeah, they were going up. Let's go up to that building on top of that mountain. Okay, I'll put on all my all black clothes. Not really.
Do you? Brett?
No, I don't like to hike.
No interest in
it. I don't hate hiking, but I don't seek out hiking. We're also going to Colorado. Maybe I'll go see how bad this trail is.
By like yourself?
Next month, yeah. Me and my friends.
We're getting pin drops from Ryan.
I'm going with my buddies, yeah.
Yeah, don't send a
pin. I'll tell them, hey, you guys go on. I'm going to go see where this side goes.
Like, Ryan, I'm in Illinois.
How scary would it be, though, to know that you left your guy behind and it was, like, overnight, and then there's a storm? Like, it's every bad thing that could possibly happen, yeah. But it does have a good ending because he didn't die.
Yeah, I don't know if this guy was in good health either. And he could have been in great health, but hearing that he fell down 20 times makes me think maybe he wasn't.
Unless you're, I mean, they said that he went down, he was, like, going down something that was too steep of a slope, so we had to retrack his trail. So, I mean, maybe the ground was causing him to be disoriented.
I hate that part of me is really concerned about the guy while you're reading the story, and the other part of me is picturing him going, dope, down the mountain because he keeps falling.
Oh, man. I got another coworker story to talk with you guys through, and we'll see how we would fare in this situation when we come back. We want your YouTube live chat poll votes and comments as well. Have you ever been censored on social media? No or yes, and it was unfair, or yeah, you totally deserved it. Anthony said, I personally have not been censored, but my wife has on Facebook. Kurt said, yes, all censorship is evil. Lauren said, I got banned from a cricket staff crafting page on Facebook for saying all lives matter.
Oh my gosh.
That's hardcore. Oh, man. I just got a cricket, guys. Give me your tips. I need to know them. Robert says, yes, Twitter now X blocked me back when I tried to post the New York Post Hunter Biden laptop story. Go figure. I wish I could do a sub poll, which is how many people shared that story and got demoted or censored for it. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. Songs do you think you know the words to that you don't know the words to? Like, what percentage of songs that you're singing along to are you singing nonsense words or things that are completely wrong, do you think?
About 18-19%.
Right or wrong?
Wrong.
This song is from 2001, which is just about right. I graduated high school in 2002. And what does he say? Because I'm in too deep and I'm trying to keep up above in my head instead of going up above in my head. That's the first time I've ever known that's what he's saying.
Up above in my head.
I think I just would go bop, bop, bop.
Up, 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 up in my head. You know what? I like too many bands from overseas that I have no clue what they're saying.
Oh, man.
Either because they sing with an accent or because they're actually singing in Welsh. I have no idea.
What is it? Is it Blink 182? I Walk Alone on a Friday Night?
I Walk Alone on a Friday Night?
It's I Wore Cologne.
Oh. Yeah, to get the feeling right.
Yeah.
And then there's other
things. I was like, oh.
It takes on a whole different situation when it's him by himself.
Yeah, wearing cologne.
Yeah, what's that about? We told the story at the Fox News report that came out just here recently about this group of 15 coworkers who decided to take a hiking. Why? What do you do for a living that your team needs to go do that? I don't get that.
It's so funny.
It's a team
The corporate culture in Denver is probably like, oh yeah, of course you guys go hiking. That's just what you do.
It's like,
you imagine
we go eat pork steaks
in Illinois being like, let's go hiking. We're gonna go out in the field over there.
Where? There's no up.
There's just out and back.
They're gonna go to the climbing wall at the YMCA.
Somebody way out in Warrington who's barely getting us is like, of course we do. We take the Katy Trail everywhere.
All the time. You guys have heard about the astronauts.
I know of astronauts.
That they exist?
Yeah.
Do they, though?
Ooh.
Anyway, Fox News story. Experienced Boeing Starliner astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams are stuck in space. They went up for what was supposed to be an 8-day trip. Do you not know the story?
No, that guy's last name is
really?
Assmore.
You don't know this story?
No.
No, it's Wilmore.
Oh, I thought...
What are you talking?
I thought you said
Did I? I didn't say that. I read it. What's your problem?
I thought you said the guy's name was Butch. Butch Aspar. I was like, that's an awesome name. I would select him as an astronaut, too.
roll the tape. That's not what I said.
Who are we going to take, Sunni, or are we going to take Butch Aspar? I think
when you get it together. We can't both be laughing like this. Brad's just talking to people in the chat. He's not even here.
Brad, I'm done with you guys. This one's on you.
Come on, man.
Get it together, Ryan.
All right, we're good.
Stop thinking about Bush.
Now, every time you talk, no, stop me now. Now look what you've done.
What have I done? Did I break you?
You said stop thinking about
Stop.
All right, sorry.
This is a professional established radio show for now. Gosh damn it.
All right, read your Soros
it's
stories.
It's hard to do. It's okay. Hard. Yeah, from Fox. All right, Paul Ryan wants you to know.
Okay.
What was supposed to be an 8-day trip to space has turned into a months long one. Butch and Sunni.
Okay, Butch.
Went to space. It was supposed to be an 8-day trip.
Uh-huh. 3-hour tour.
And they had problems, and they have to be up there for 8 months. Now,
yes, I have heard this story. I did not know their names.
Can you imagine a scenario where you got stuck if you went on an 8-day trip with your coworkers and then had to spend 8 months in space with them?
Yeah, imagine if our show went to Florida like we did last year, and all of a sudden a hurricane like cut off the peninsula.
It's like us being stuck on It's a Small World for eight months instead of 8 weeks.
In
8 days.
And we're going, please, Elon Musk, save us.
So SpaceX was going to send a rescue wagon, and I don't understand this, but of course, their astronaut suits don't work with SpaceX stuff. So it's like trying to text between Android and Apple, apparently. But what do you do? Like, I guess these two people, if they're going up there individually, Butch and Sunni, like they have to have agreed to like each other. But
I
like
guess.
when you're signing on the dotted line and you're agreeing to like each other for 8 days.
Yeah, I can do 8 days with Sunni.
Yeah. It's professional.
Yeah.
8 months?
Man.
That's going one in two directions.
Is that a guy and a girl?
Yep.
Uh oh.
Yep.
What if they have babies while they're up there?
8 months.
Oh. C-section. Early.
In space.
Yeah. Space C-section. Space C-section.
I mean, how do you do that? I everybody that's reported on it has kind of leaned into the, like, it'll be okay. But that end of the end is like, right? And you were just waiting for someone to affirm it, and it seems like it's supposed to be okay. I just think that's a very dramatic thing.
Yeah.
There is, that's a lot. 8 months.
I have seen this story, and I was surprised that it hadn't become like CNN and Fox News putting up day 47 of astronaut watch. Like, that seems like something they would do. But no, they did it for COVID deaths. They also did it for the Titanic submarine. Remember that? The Titanic submarine, they had like day 14 watch and everybody was on their edge of their seat. This seems like that kind of story. I'm just surprised they're not covering it that way.
Wilmore and Williams have been on the International Space Station since engineers discovered helium leaks and issues involving thrusters shortly after the Starliner docked, prompting NASA and Boeing to investigate. Wilmore and Williams are no strangers to outer space. According to the official NASA bio, this is Wilmore's third mission to the space station, and he had 178 days in space from his previous two missions. His most recent trip concluded in March 2015. Wilmore served in the Navy, including deployments during Operations Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and Southern Watch, including flights over Iraq. While Wilmore is in space, his wife, Deanna, Ann Ordina, and their daughters, Darren and Logan, live in Texas. He gets to FaceTime them several times most days while he's on the space station. Darren said, it's so cool. He gives us a lot of Earth views. I especially like seeing the sunset. While the Wilmer family understands that family events and memories are being missed, they are used to the uncertainty and stress of this profession. So it's just, that's crazy stuff.
That is crazy stuff. It's also a little surprising that this has never happened. This seems like this would have been, you go to the space station, probably a pretty good chance you're going to get stuck up there.
I feel like this has happened before, though.
Maybe not this long? Has it happened in shorter increments?
No. It was pretty long. Like, they had to overstay maybe a year?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Were they Russians?
What?
No. Okay.
What kind of comment is that?
Because the Russians are up there, too. They're cosmonauts, though. They're not astronauts.
Gosh. Williams is also on her third mission on the ISS. With 322 days in space before the current mission, she too served in the Navy before becoming an astronaut, having served in a Navy helicopter squadron. You know, helicopters, space station.
Yeah, same thing.
Overseas, she's got a lot of time in space already. During the military buildup of the Gulf War, she's married to Michael Williams, a retired U.S. Marshal and former naval aviator who is tending to their dogs back home in Houston. The couple enjoys hanging out with their dogs, working out, working on houses, working on cars, working on airplanes, hiking and camping. I think it's funny that this story is like, hey, they're going to be up there for a long time. They're both married.
Yeah.
That's the story.
It's the first thing you think of.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of weird even going up for 8 days with somebody who is not your spouse, but 8 months, man, that'd be, being the one at home would probably be harder. You're going, hope everything's okay up there.
That would be so tough. I think it would be, everyone really likes your butch name. I think it would be a real test of everything that you understood and appreciated, but I would also just be scared. That's why I'm not an astronaut. I mean, the things you have to accept to do those kinds of missions just in general, it's just not something that, when I flew with the Blue Angels and I flew in that, was it an F-18 Super Hornet? That was so outside of my understanding of any sort of actual reality that when I was in there, it was terrifying for me, but I felt very calm with the pilot who was just, he was so chill about everything that I just thought, okay, this is, what are the odds that something bad's going to happen? I mean, more because I'm in the plane than if I would be not in the plane, but the cool, calm, collected way that his name was O'Connell. The way he handled himself, it just made me be like, this is just a Tuesday or whatever it was for this guy. This is just what he does. And this is the same thing for astronauts. It's the same thing for police officers. It's the same thing for firefighters. I mean, these people, like, if we were thrust into that situation, like, go put out that fire. Be like, nah, I can't do that. Like, you just have a natural, life-preserving fear of doing those things. And there are people who are doing amazing, amazing things with their lives, with their professions, like being an astronaut, like being a surgeon. I could never do anything like that. It's just weird to put yourself into their shoes and think about having to deal with that.
Did you pulled, like, do you know the G's that you pulled while you were up there?
Yeah.
The number? What was it?
7.5 for 10
What's the most you
seconds?
Could ever pull on a roller coaster? Was it? It's not even close, is it?
No. I mean, maybe 5 or 6 for a second or two. I mean, the fact 7.5 G's was really, really difficult to do, but it was for almost 10 seconds. So that the length of that is.
Yeah, it's way longer.
It's super taxing.
Is there a moment? Because all I have to compare it to is rides that do similar, but not as extreme of things. Is there a moment in the airplane where you kind of come up out of your seat like you're almost weightless?
Oh, yeah. We did negative G's.
How long does that last?
Maybe a couple seconds tops.
Okay.
But I mean, like, if we did loops and stuff like that. And if you're interested in seeing this, I have a whole video. It's done very well on YouTube, and I'm very proud of the video. But you can go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and you can watch the whole thing.
Because I was trying to think, and somebody probably knows the answer to this who's been paying attention to the story more. I wonder, are they fully weightless the whole time they're up there, or do they have simulated gravity at times?
I don't know.
Because if you're weightless for 8 months, that's tough.
Yeah.
You got to do a lot of working out.
Yeah. And they do that. They have exercise machines and stuff like that. Like, you can't do weightlifting because there's no...
Oh, I wouldn't even do it then.
but they ride bikes and all that other stuff. You know, you can you have to push against your own body just mass wise. But yeah, they do that. And that's something that whenever that earlier ones, when they came back, they had trouble walking and they had to go back into they had to do physical therapy to get their muscles built back up from having not been.
Gosh, that's got to be such a weird sensation for so long, too, to come back to Earth. You got to feel like you weigh 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Tower of Terror, Gold Reef City in South Africa, pulls 6.3 Gs.
There's a South Africa Tower of Terror?
I don't think it's the one you're thinking of.
No.
I think it's just another.
It's not Rod Serling.
Terrible tower. Shockwave at Six Flags Over Texas in Arlington used to hold the G record at 5.9. 5.5 is Castles and Coasters is the park in Phoenix, and it's called Desert Storm.
Ooh, that sounds awesome. I kind of want to go to this.
And then in fourth place, there are several ones listed here, but the only American one is Rock and Roller Coaster in Disney's Hollywood Studios, and that is 5.2 Gs, and I would assume that's at the takeoff.
No kidding. Huh.
Yeah, it just sticks you to your chair. And you have to remind your lungs to inhale and exhale.
I don't remember the beginning of that. I only wrote it once, and all I remember is how young Steven Tyler looked in the in the walk up to the ride.
Yeah,
something that was taped like 25 years ago.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the results of today's YouTube live chat poll. Have you ever been censored on social media? We want to know what you think. And also, I've got some more content here for Ryan Wiggins. Tips to help improve your self-esteem. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube poll, which Ryan just mentioned, have you ever been censored on social media? Are we all a yes and it was unfair, or what are you, Brad?
I'm a yes and it was unfair.
Ryan?
Yes, totally unfair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I posted once, it was 2021, I think, and I posted an article, and I think this is what did it for my shadow ban on Twitter. I posted an article from Real Clear Politics about peculiarities in the 2020 election. That was it.
The crazy part about it was the things that were censored were honest questions people were asking.
Yes. And not even, it wasn't, and not that this would be better, but it would be mainstream stuff. Like, remember that Time article that said, look, it wasn't stolen, but here's how it would be stolen if it was. That kind of stuff, and the Federalist had some really good stuff at the time, that if you posted anything from reputable sources even, they'd be like, nah, you're done.
What, didn't the show even get a strike from playing Holly's?
Josh Hawley, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like retroactive. We got the strike after, like.
Oh, there were times where we would get strikes for something that happened 8-10 months ago.
It just shocks me that there are Americans alive right now who have lived their lives under the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States, and thought for a moment, that doesn't really apply here anymore. We're going to do what we want because we think this is the best now.
Man, the election. There's so much at stake with this presidential election. Regarding the poll, Erica said, I've been censored and received a firm finger wagging. My husband has had a couple of 7-day bans. Facebook is especially stupid since a lot of times they won't tell you why you're censored. That's the thing that frustrates me the most. Like, be specific. If you want to have an algorithm pick something out of because they said a buzzword or shared an article or something like that, there should be specificity in what the infraction was, and there should be a way to resolve it. And that wasn't even always the case. Frank said, I've been censored and kicked off of every social media platform I've ever participated in, and no, it was not deserved or fair in any way. Betsy said, I chose no. However, no one knows for sure. Anything is possible. Haven't been on Facebook since 2017. No intentions of going back either. And Christopher said, if you were on Twitter at all in 2017 and ever muttered anything pro-Republican, you've been censored online.
That's a fact.
That's outrageous.
That's unbelievable.
That's all you got to say about it?
Well, it's just.
I mean, it's just hard to believe that it's true.
We're living in such a dystopia that now, I think this was said at the DNC, that Republicans are the party of censorship, you know, because we don't want to see pornographic books in schools for kids.
There you can if you want to go get that book for whatever reason you want to go get that book, you can get that book.
And if you want to read it for whatever reason, again, with your kids,
yeah,
you legally can do that.
It's on
Nobody's stopping you. Just don't make my kids read it along with you.
Well, it's not the school's place to be putting that sort of thing in front of children.
The point being that the people doing the censorship are yelling at the other party for being censors. What the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And everybody can see this stuff, though. Mm. But I think what concerns the vast majority of people who can see this is that there is a portion of the population of the United States who does not see it. They don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to live their little bubble of truth, and this is my truth, and you can't disrupt it.
But you can't deny it, and Mark Zuckerberg in his letter really verified that if you were on one side of a particular issue, the government even was pressuring them to censor in a specific
way. The Democrat government.
Yes. From the DNC.
Yes.
Yeah. Ironic timing there with Mark Zuckerberg's letter. All right. You know I care about you, Ryan. I want to help you with your self-esteem.
Thank you. Just like I do with Wiggins America oftentimes. I'd be like, I need to improve your dining etiquette like yesterday.
Yeah.
Thank you for returning the favor. My self-esteem is low.
Like today? Lower than usual?
I just always low.
Number one tip for improving your self-esteem, Ryan, is to practice positive self-talk. In reality, do you talk yourself up or do you talk to yourself down more often?
Well, I'm looking in the mirror. In the morning, I just start kind of pull my hair a little bit. I go, are you stupid, idiot? You're stupid, stupid. Why are you so stupid? And then I go to work.
It's amazing how high your self-esteem
is. You're saying I shouldn't do that?
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Here are some examples of cognitive distortions. Catastrophizing involves expecting the worst possible outcome. What if I fail this test? I'll eventually fail the class and become a dropout. My entire life will be ruined. The next one is overgeneralization involves making broad assumptions using limited evidence, like all of my friends will eventually get bored with me and leave. And the last one is polarized thinking is when you have an all or nothing mindset. If I can't figure this task out, I might as well quit and find a new job. When you catch yourself saying something negative about yourself, ask yourself, is there evidence to support this thought? Could it be untrue or over-exaggerated? Is there another more likely scenario that I'm overlooking? I am not particularly kind to myself, but in my middle age, have learned to actually say things like, what are the other possibilities? Like I have my initial thought is probably the most, especially self-negative one I could come up with. But I've been able to be like, what are some other possibilities at play here to kind of try to iron things out? But it's not like I'm taking the most negative one and tossing it out as if it's not also one of the possibilities.
The only time I really do this generalizing negativity toward myself is when I try to do anything handyman-wise.
It's a humbling experience.
I'm so bad at it, but I still try. I got to give myself a credit because the older I get, the more I say, you know what? I'm still going to give it a shot,
yeah.
Which is improvement because there have been times where I'm like, I'm not even going to approach that. I still fail badly at it. Like that last weekend, I tried to hook up a water line to an ice machine. Terrible idea.
What'd you hook your water line up to? Microwave?
No. It wasn't a microwave. That would have been stupid. No, it was a Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Fried that thing instantly.
Who has Teddy Ruxpin rolling around in their head? I'm so goofy. Are you a positive or negative self-talker by default, Brad?
Man, I don't even know if I can't really think of an instance of talking to myself at all. Like, I don't...
You don't have thoughts?
Well, no. Not like... Like, I don't look at something and go, you can't do that, or you are going to be awesome at that. I'm going to do this thing, and then I just kind of do it, or I don't. And I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I don't do the self-talk thing. I don't look in the mirror in the morning and go, you got this.
Nobody does. Neither does Ryan.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do, too. No. I sing with a hairbrush.
You don't do it. Well, you might do that. Yeah. Why do you have a hairbrush?
Just for fun.
But for singing.
I need a fake microphone.
I mean, overall, I would say, though, that I have a pretty positive attitude toward myself and doing things and stuff like that.
Number two is acknowledge your strengths. When you have low self-esteem, you tend to fixate on your weakest traits. One quick way to counter that is by making a list of your strengths. I'm not taking the time to make lists about myself. But I think that this is something with age becomes a little, you just kind of try to stay in your lane a little bit more where your strengths are usually more prevalent.
Yeah. Except for the ice machine. Yeah. That was a mistake.
Well, there's a difference between, I think, acknowledging I'm not really good at this, but this is a small, simple task and I should just give it a shot.
That's kind of where I'm at, is that I figure if I never try any of that stuff, I'll never get better at it. So I am trying it.
Did Katie
and I'm
do it?
Still never getting better at it. No, she didn't. I called a handyman. And
your kids?
No, my kids didn't do anything.
I mean, the first step to getting good at something is to try it, and everybody's bad at something the first time they try it.
Mm-hmm. Except for me in basketball, as you know.
As I know.
What?
Oh, I was jamming when I was like 5.
Number 3, build competence.
Okay.
People with low self-esteem often doubt their ability to develop new skills or improve on existing ones. Taking small steps to build competence can remind you that you're capable of growth.
Except when you don't grow. Like, if you keep trying and failing.
Are you hopeless?
I think so.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay enough with it, but it does bother me. I really wish I had some of the more...
What skill do you have?
Masculine skills.
Deep breath. Breathe it in.
Yeah. What skills do I do have?
Like... Is there a skill that, is there something that you're particularly handy at? It doesn't have to be with tools or, you know, housework like that. But are you, is there anything that you find yourself to be, you know, I'm actually above average at that.
With, specifically with handyman type stuff?
No, anything.
Well, I'm a decent writer. So I love doing that. But I also am good. I didn't know this until I've gotten older. I really like working with numbers. And I like investments. And I like money. And I like money. Surprise. But I really enjoy doing that. So I'm leaning into that more.
Do you find it hard, Brad, to work to grow competence on skills that you might be lacking in a little bit but could grow in?
No, I don't find that hard at all.
Do you try?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you okay with failing?
Oh, yeah. I'm really good at failing.
That's great.
It's super good at it. It's, I mean, if you don't fail, that means that you're perfect at whatever, and I'm not perfect. So.
This is kind of where I struggle a little bit, because I am, to you talking about handyman work, like, if I have acknowledged that I am not good at this, I'm finding someone else to do it.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at.
I'm not, like, in the stage of my life where I want to grow my skill set.
No, but every now and then, I'll still just, you know, dip my toe in the water just to make sure. Oh, yeah, I'm bad at that.
Number 5, prioritize self-care. People who truly value themselves are also carve out time for themselves. By taking time to engage in the following activities, you can help reinforce the idea that you're worthy of self-love. I do not like modern culture's look at this, but as a parent, and you got 4 kids and a job, and my husband has a job, we're always going everywhere, that I do realize that an hour to myself in a month isn't the worst thing that I can do, and carving out time for myself or for my husband and myself is important to do.
Yeah, you got
to
put on one of those face masks and have a little wine in the bathtub. Treat yourself, girl.
Do you put water in the bathtub?
Not immediately.
No, wine. He puts wine in the bathtub.
That's a lot.
Champagne.
And surround yourself with positive influences. I think that's a key one. Mm-hmm. The people you put around you will absolutely impact how you feel about yourself. And if you realize the people around you are causing you to feel like crap, get new people. YouTube live chat poll. Have you ever been censored on social media? 4% of you said, yep, and I deserved it out of 260 votes. And this is interesting. Yes, 47% said totally unfair. And 49% of y'all said no. So almost half of our audience has not experienced that. So
surprised.
I'm glad for you. And kind of like what Christopher was saying, if you were posting in a couple of these places during 2017, tips to help improve your self-esteem. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube poll, which Brian just mentioned, have you ever been censored on social media? Are we all a yes and it was unfair, or what are you, Brad?
I'm a yes and it was unfair.
Ryan?
Yes, totally unfair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I posted once, it was 2021, I think, and I posted an article, and I think this is what did it for my shadow ban on Twitter. I posted an article from Real Clear Politics about peculiarities in the 2020 election. That was it.
The crazy part about it was the things that were censored were honest questions people were asking.
Yes. And not even, it wasn't, and not that this would be better, but it would be mainstream stuff. Like, remember that Time article that said, look, it wasn't stolen, but here's how it would be stolen if it was. That kind of stuff, and the Federalist had some really good stuff at the time, that if you posted anything from reputable sources even, they'd be like, nah, you're done.
What, didn't the show even get a strike from playing Holly's?
Josh Hawley, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like retroactive. We got the strike after, like...
Oh, there were times where we would get strikes for something that happened 8-10 months ago.
It just shocks me that there are Americans alive right now who have lived their lives under the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States, and thought for a moment, that doesn't really apply here anymore. We're going to do what we want because we think this is the best now.
Man, the election, there's so much at stake with this presidential election. Regarding the poll, Erica said, I've been censored and received a firm finger wagging. My husband has had a couple of 7-day bans. Facebook is especially stupid since a lot of times they won't tell you why you're censored. That's the thing that frustrates me the most. Like, be specific. If you want to have an algorithm pick something out of because they said a buzzword or shared an article or something like that, there should be specificity in what the infraction was, and there should be a way to resolve it. And that wasn't even always the case. Frank said, I've been censored and kicked off of every social media platform I've ever participated in, and no, it was not deserved or fair in any way. Betsy said, I chose no. However, no one knows for sure. Anything is possible. Haven't been on Facebook since 2017. No intentions of going back either. And Christopher said, if you were on Twitter at all in 2017 and ever muttered anything pro-Republican, you've been censored online.
That's a fact.
That's outrageous.
That's mm-hmm. unbelievable.
That's all you got to say about it?
Well, it's just...
I mean, it's just hard to believe that it's true.
We're living in such a dystopia that now, I think this was said at the DNC, that Republicans are the party of censorship. You know, because we don't want to see pornographic books first in schools for kids.
In schools for kids. There, you can, if you want to get that, if you want to go get that book, for whatever reason you want to go get that book, you can get that book.
And if you want to read it for whatever reason, again, with your kids,
yeah,
you legally can do that.
It's on you.
Nobody's stopping you. Just don't make my kids read it along with you.
Well, it's not the school's place to be putting that sort of thing in front of children.
The point being that the people doing the censorship are yelling at the other party for being censors. What the hell is happening?
Yeah.
And everybody can see this stuff, though. Mm. But I think what concerns the vast majority of people who can see this is that there is a portion of the population of the United States who does not see it. They don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to live their little bubble of truth, and this is my truth, and you can't disrupt it.
But you can't deny it, and Mark Zuckerberg, in his letter, really verified that if you were on one side of a particular issue, the government even was pressuring them to censor in a specific way.
The Democrat government.
Yes. From the DNC.
Yes.
Yeah. Ironic timing there with Mark Zuckerberg's letter. All right. You know I care about you, Ryan. I want to help you with your self-esteem.
Thank you. Just like I do with Wiggins America oftentimes. Be like, I need to improve your dining etiquette like yesterday.
Yeah.
Thank you for returning the favor. My self-esteem is low.
Like today? Lower than usual?
I just always low.
Number one tip for improving your self-esteem, Ryan, is to practice positive self-talk. In reality, do you talk yourself up or do you talk to yourself down more often?
Well, I'm looking in the mirror. In the morning, I just start kind of pull my hair a little bit. I go, are you stupid, idiot? You stupid, stupid. Why are you so stupid? And then I go to work.
It's amazing how high your self-esteem
is. You're saying I shouldn't do that?
Don't do that.
Okay.
Here are some examples of cognitive distortions. Catastrophizing involves expecting the worst possible outcome. What if I fail this test? I'll eventually fail the class and become a dropout. My entire life will be ruined. The next one is overgeneralization involves making broad assumptions using limited evidence, like all of my friends will eventually get bored with me and leave. And the last one is polarized thinking is when you have an all or nothing mindset. If I can't figure this task out, I might as well quit and find a new job. When you catch yourself saying something negative about yourself, ask yourself, is there evidence to support this thought? Could it be untrue or over-exaggerated? Is there another more likely scenario that I'm overlooking? I am not particularly kind to myself, but in my middle age have learned to actually say things like, what are the other possibilities? Like, I have my initial thought is probably the most, especially self-negative one I could come up with. But I have been able to be like, what are some other possibilities at play here to kind of try to iron things out? But it's not like I'm taking the most negative one and tossing it out as if it's not also one of the possibilities.
The only time I really do this generalizing negativity toward myself is when I try to do anything handyman-wise.
It's a humbling experience.
I'm so bad at it. But I still try. I got to give myself a credit because the older I get, the more I say, you know what? I'm still going to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Which is improvement because there have been times where I'm like, I'm not even going to approach that. I still fail badly at it. Like that last weekend, I tried to hook up a water line to an ice machine. Terrible idea.
What'd you hook your water line up to? Microwave?
No. It wasn't a microwave. That would have been stupid. No, it was a Teddy Ruxpin.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Fried that thing instantly.
Who has Teddy Ruxpin rolling around in their head? I'm so goofy. Are you a positive or negative self-talker by default, Brad?
Man, I don't even know if I can't really think of an instance of talking to myself at all. Like, I don't.
You don't have thoughts?
Well, no, not like. Like, I don't look at something and go, you can't do that, or you are going to be awesome at that. I'm going to do this thing, and then I just kind of do it, or I don't. And I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I don't do the self-talk thing. I don't look in the mirror in the morning and go, you got this.
Nobody does. Neither does Ryan.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do, too. No. I sing with a hairbrush.
You don't do it. Well, you might do that. Yeah. Why do you have a hairbrush?
Just for fun.
But singing.
I need a fake microphone.
I mean, overall, I would say, though, that I have a pretty positive attitude toward myself and doing things and stuff like that.
Number two is acknowledge your strengths. When you have low self-esteem, you tend to fixate on your weakest traits. One quick way to counter that is by making a list of your strengths. I'm not taking the time to make lists about myself. But I think that this is something with age becomes a little... You just kind of try to stay in your lane a little bit more where your strengths are usually more prevalent.
Yeah. Except for the ice machine. Yeah. That was a mistake.
Well, there's a difference between, I think, acknowledging, I'm not really good at this, but this is a small, simple task, and I should just give it a shot.
That's kind of where I'm at, is that I figure if I never try any of that stuff, I'll never get better at it. So I am trying it.
Did Katie
do it?
And
I'm still never getting better at it. No, she didn't. I called a handyman. And
your kids?
No, my kids didn't do anything.
I mean, the first step to getting good at something is to try it, and everybody's bad at something the first time they try it.
Mm-hmm. Except for me in basketball, as you know.
As I know.
What?
Oh, I was jamming when I was like 5.
Number 3, build competence.
Okay.
People with low self-esteem often doubt their ability to develop new skills or improve on existing ones. Taking small steps to build competence can remind you that you're capable of growth.
Except when you don't grow. Like, if you keep trying and failing.
Are you hopeless?
I think so.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay enough with it, but it does bother me. I really wish I had some of the more...
What skill do you have?
Masculine skills.
Deep breath. Breathe it in.
Yeah. What skills do I do have?
Like... Is there a skill that, is there something that you're particularly handy at? It doesn't have to be with tools or, you know, house work like that. But is there anything that you find yourself to be, you know, I'm actually above average at that.
Specifically with handyman type stuff?
No, anything.
Well, I'm a decent writer, so I love doing that. But I also am good. I didn't know this until I've gotten older. I really like working with numbers. And I like investments, and I like money, and I like money. Surprise. But I really enjoy doing that. So I'm leaning into that more.
Do you find it hard, Brad, to work to grow competence on skills that you might be lacking in a little bit but could grow in?
No, I don't find that hard at all.
Do you try?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you okay with failing?
Oh, yeah. I'm really good at failing.
That's great.
It's super good at it. It's. I mean, if you don't fail, that means that you're perfect at whatever, and I'm not perfect. So.
This is kind of where I struggle a little bit because I am to you talking about handyman work. Like if I have acknowledged that I am not good at this, I'm finding someone else to do it.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at.
I'm not like in the stage of my life where I want to grow my skill set.
No, but every now and then I'll still just, you know, dip my toe in the water just to make sure. Oh, yeah, I'm bad at that.
Number five, prioritize self-care. People who truly value themselves are also carve out time for themselves. By taking time to engage in the following activities, you can help reinforce the idea that you're worthy of self-love. I do not like modern culture's look at this, but as a parent, and you got four kids and a job, and my husband has a job, we're always going everywhere, that I do realize that an hour to myself in a month isn't the worst thing that I can do, and carving out time for myself or for my husband and myself is important to do.
Yeah, you got to put on one of those face masks and have a little wine in the bathtub. Treat yourself, girl.
Do you put water in the bathtub?
Not immediately.
No, wine. He puts wine in the bathtub.
That's a lot.
Champagne.
And surround yourself with positive influences. I think that's a key one. Mm-hmm. The people you put around you will absolutely impact how you feel about yourself. And if you realize the people around you are causing you to feel like crap, get new people. YouTube live chat poll. Have you ever been censored on social media? 4% of you said, yep, and I deserved it. Out of 260 votes. And this is interesting. Yes, 47% said totally unfair. And 49% of y'all said no. So almost half of our audience has not experienced that. So
surprised.
I'm glad for you. And kind of like what Christopher was saying, if you were posting in a couple of these places during 2017, you probably have been censored without knowing it. But I think the only way we'll ever find out really what happened is if Donald Trump becomes the next president of the United States. Mark Reardon, next. Don't go away.